Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their sin, the prophet Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter. He spoke those words of the so-called suffering servant who would bear the sin of the people. In this passage, we hear that Peter did not like Jesus claiming the role for himself. God forbid it, Lord, Peter said, angrily rebuking Jesus. Why would Peter say such things? Was it an attempt to protect a friend? Was it because Peter couldn't fathom a Messiah who could suffer and die? Perhaps. But the real question is why Jesus would turn and call Peter a snare, a trap, a stumbling block of Satan, no less. The answer is because Peter's rebuke of Jesus is pure evil, springing from the mouth of Satan himself. Peter's desire to spare Jesus suffering and death, that is, to not allow him to be the suffering servant and to take the sin of the world, is the antithesis of the gospel. You see, if Jesus didn't carry the world's iniquity like Isaiah preached, if Jesus didn't bear the sin of the world, then sin would remain the responsibility of sinners. Sin would remain, and people both then and now would have to figure out how to make themselves right with God and everybody else. And here's the strange part. Sinners actually want it that way. Rather than trust God, sinners want to be in control of their destiny. That's the definition of sin, trusting self rather than God. It's the original and only sin, by the way. Everything else is just a symptom. Indeed, sinners are captivated by the notion that with enough time and effort and help, they are able to justify themselves to God and others and be rewarded for their effort accordingly. All of life, then, is an if-then scheme. If I do my part, then I will get what I deserve. And that's why there are cartoons of Peter guarding the gates of heaven, granting access only to those who were successful at cultivating virtue and avoiding vice. That's why life is thought of as a giant scale. The idea being that if one's good outweighs one's bad, then the person's life can be justified by God. And let's not forget the golden rule, the five pillars of Islam, the Buddhist quest for enlightenment, and all of the other million ways people try to appease the deity and win salvation, whatever they believe that salvation to be. What is shared by all sinners is trust in themselves instead of trust in God. The classic line, "You can do it," uttered by the actor Rob Schneider in The Waterboy, anybody seen that? Is the mantra of all sinners. And it is a line given by the devil himself. But for Jesus to come along and to turn the whole thing upside down doesn't sit very well for Peter or for anybody else. For Jesus to come along and make himself the means of salvation rather than the if-then scheme that everybody knows and trusts, well, that just doesn't sit well. For Jesus to be salvation and not a sinner's attempt at self-justification just doesn't seem right, does it? We have to do our part, right? Or at least try. And all this certainly doesn't sit well with the devil, who knows that the surest way to condemn a person to hell is to convince said person that he or she has no need of a suffering servant because the person can save themselves for what they do or avoid doing. But whether it sits well with us or not matters not, because it's what God does. He puts Jesus forward as the suffering servant who takes away sin, and so he leaves nothing for sinners to do. The Apostle Paul tells us that now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed. Said another way, God is the actor in salvation, and sinners are the ones acted upon by God. Well, if you've listened aright, you know that the sinners I'm speaking about include you and me. And it is that nothing we can do to make sure God treats us right, well, that's the cross that we bear. Our efforts at self-justification are crucified, And so we have died. And so we wait. We wait for God to act, to speak, because it's all that we can do. Taking up your cross, then, is disowning any hope of being made right with God or keeping yourself right with God by what you do or avoid doing. Jesus Christ alone saves you. And this he does with a promise that I am all too happy to give you now. By the authority of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant who's taken your sin, I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally for Christ's sake. Your wait is over. The Son of Man has come for you, and your life is saved. Amen.